Hey, today we are back in our Be the Church sermon series through the book of Acts. Today we're going to actually be in Acts chapter 2. So grab your copy of the scriptures, go ahead and turn there, and we're going to be reading Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 will be our primary passage today. Today we're actually talking about the birth of the church, right? Which is a huge deal. This cannot be overstated that we are talking about the Church of Jesus Christ being born, coming into existence on the day of Pentecost. And so I think that sometimes we undervalue the idea of life itself and of birth. And so I had a story one time when I was actually in 10th or 11th grade. I was in high school. My biology teacher had some kind of meeting that she had to go to with other teachers. So she did something kind of impromptu. She rolled a big fat TV that used to be really, really big back in the day, rolled this huge cart into the room, put on a VCR, put a tape in. We're like, cool, we get to watch a movie while Miss Cook is like at her session. And so we did not realize she was putting on a video about birth, and a woman was actually going to be giving birth on the screen. I don't think she really thought this out. She didn't really prepare us in advance for leaving 10th and 11th graders in a room and leaving and putting on a movie about someone giving birth. And I wasn't ready. And at the time, honestly, I wasn't mature enough to appreciate what was happening in the moment. Now I've got four kids of my own, and I can appreciate how beautiful life is and how much of a gift that it is. And so with that being said, I'm praying, my prayer has been this week, that God would help us to treasure and to realize how valuable and how crucial and how beautiful His church is, and that as we study the birth of the church today, that we would just own that in a greater sense. And so let me read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. After I do, you're going to hear as I'm reading that the Holy Spirit shows up on the scene and people begin to break out and with the ability to speak in other languages, which is crazy cool. And so what's going to happen here is I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then some friends of ours, members of our church, or people who have been part of our church, they're going to actually read the same exact verses in a different language. So check this out. When the day of Pentecost arrived, verse 1, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Y cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos unánimes juntos. Y de repente vino del cielo un estruendo de un viento recio que soplaba.
Agni dwala pole pilar nirikina navagal avrka prakteksimai avril ororo dende mel padinyu. Elavaram parishutatmava nirinyavarai Altmava avrka uchiripan nalgida pole anye pachikil samsarichu todangi.
그들은 모두 성령으로 충만하게 되어서 성령이 시키시는 대로 각각 방언으로 말하기 시작하였다. 사도행전 2장 1에서 4절 말씀. 아멘.
Wow, so here we are, the birth of the church. It is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come. There's like this huge sound of rushing wind and then these tongues of flames that come and it settles on top of the believers and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in other languages and begin to tell about the mighty works of God. Amazing birth of the church at this point. And right here in this moment, the Godhead is at work, putting everything into place that needs to happen to make sure that this body that is being born, the church, God's family, coming into existence, you and I participating in the church. God is watching over this and is doing His work. I want you to see something here. Three things, really, that you see in this passage if you pay close attention is that you see the promise of the Father being fulfilled in this moment that the church is being born. You also see this. You see the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in a like really cool and mighty, powerful kind of a way. And then you also see this. You see the proclamation of the Son. Jesus Christ, the gospel, being shared in a powerful way and tons of people coming to know Jesus Christ. And so we're going to march through these three things and talk about them. And I hope that during this time, the way that you think about the church will be elevated. Let's talk about, number one, just really the promise of the Father. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus has shown up. He's with the disciples before he ascends back into heaven. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John, that's John the Baptist, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then you jump over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived. That's the promised time. So what was going to happen? The promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, was going to show up at the right time, and the disciples were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, the church is not something that happened by accident. God has planned out the church from eternity past. You and I being joined together in one body, one family, is nothing to take lightly, and it's nothing that's by accident. It's by the plan and the promise of God the Father. And Jesus says, wait, don't go anywhere, because the promise of the Father is going to happen in a few days from now, 10 days to be exact. That's why he says, on the day of Pentecost, boom, the Holy Spirit shows up in a mighty and a powerful way. Pentecost, what is that? Pentecost is one of the big Jewish holidays, one of the big Jewish feasts. And if you go back to Leviticus chapter 23, in that chapter in the Old Testament, you will see basically a calendar of all the feasts that the Jews would celebrate. And so you see God's promise thousands of years earlier, because this is a foreshadowing of the ministry of Jesus Christ, that the Passover feast that they would celebrate when they would remember that God redeemed them from Egypt and he brought them out and he set them free, that is the celebration of Passover, and that corresponds to the night of the Passover when Jesus broke bread with his disciples, went out to the garden, prayed, and then was arrested, and Jesus himself became the Passover lamb that would take away your sin, take away my sin, and the sin of the whole entire world. That's the Passover. And then the next day was the Feast of First Fruits. And that corresponds to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, 1 Corinthians tells us this, that Jesus was the first fruits of those who had slept or those who had died. He was the first fruits. So you and I, one day, we will be raised, if we are believers, we'll be raised from the dead and we'll spend eternity with Jesus. And he is the first fruits that corresponds to that first fruit feast. And then, 50 days later, comes the Feast of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks. Why? Because it was 7 weeks. So a week is 7 days. The Feast of Weeks is a week of weeks. So 49 days plus that one day gives us Pentecost, which means 50. Planned out way in advance that on this day is when the Holy Spirit would show up and the church would be born. This was like the Feast of Harvest, where they would celebrate the first part of the harvest being brought in. And that's what's going to happen in this passage, right? Is that the harvest is going to begin. This new day and age that we're living in, this age of the church is starting up, and God is doing a mighty work, and he's ushering in that first part of that harvest, and he hasn't stopped yet. People to this day are still being brought in. The Bible tells us that the fields are white unto harvest. And so God is still doing a mighty work all the way around the world. You know, also the Jews celebrate Pentecost as the day, that 50th day, as the day that God gave the law to Moses. So on that day is when they celebrate the day that God gave the law to Moses, but we as Christians celebrate it as the day that God gave us not the law, but gave us the Spirit to live, because now we live by the power of the Holy Spirit and are no longer under that law. Amen. So that is what has happened, as the promise of the Father is being fulfilled in a mighty and a powerful way. Let me encourage you to do this. Don't take the church lightly. This is the promise of the Father, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the church coming online at the same time, and a beautiful picture of something new and wonderful that is happening, a family that is being formed. And it was so important to God that He had planned it out way in advance. And yet you and I sometimes could maybe tend to take church a little bit lightly and to blow it off. But we don't want to be a church that's like that. We want to be the church, right? At all times, because this is something that is near and dear to the heart of our Father. And so we want to be a people that really honestly take the church in a serious way, that we don't take ourselves too seriously, right? But we want to take God's church seriously, because He allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that this church could be formed. So there's the promise of the Father happening on that day. But there's also this, number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. We already saw that, right? I mean, we saw that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, boom, I mean, I wish I could have been there, but suddenly from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. This loud hurricane force type sound just filled the whole entire house, and probably filled the whole entire neighborhood, because people came running to see what was going on. Man, that's some great power. And not only that, but divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so there's a lot of power that's happening here. The Holy Spirit is showing up in a mighty way. And Jesus had said this was going to happen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, hey, guess what? Go to Jerusalem, wait for Me, and you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you will be able to be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way around the whole entire world. You see, you and I are receivers. You and I are not powerful people. You and I need to receive power that we don't have from the Holy Spirit, so that we can then be empowered to be the church that God has called us to be witnesses. Without it, we are powerless. And this is the kind of power that showed up that day. It is the kind of power that was mighty in sound. And then the flames came down. And I don't know about you, but when you put wind and flames together, you got a powerful force. When I was a kid, I did something really dumb. I did a lot of things that were dumb, let's be honest. But I did one thing that was super dumb. Is on a super windy day, I was hanging out in our back field, and it was full of tall brown grass. I mean, this grass must have been like 4 feet tall. It was like wheat or something. I don't know what it was. But I thought it would be a really smart idea to get some matches and to start a little fire, because all young boys like to play with fire. Well, you play with fire, you get burnt. And that's kind of what happened, because I started this cool little fire. And then I went to go get my brothers and show them. And when we came back, this whole field had been set on fire, because those two powerful things together, the wind and the fire, man, it just blew that fire through that field and lit it up like nobody's business. Kids, don't play with matches, all right? That's not an okay from Pastor John to play with matches. It's bad. But I say that to say this, man, the Holy Spirit has great power, and when He is at work in the church, things can really light on fire. The wind of the Spirit comes and it fills our sails, the sails of our boats, for instance, and it moves us along. Too many times in the church, we as church members, man, we like to do this. We like to just get some oars, right? And we like to paddle. And we like to try to do all the work ourselves in the church and like do all the work for God. And why aren't you working as hard as I'm working? And what we really need to be doing is what the disciples did, which is wait and pray and study the Scriptures and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and fill ourselves and move our boat forward so that we could be the church in a more powerful way. Jesus knew that the disciples could not be his witnesses all the way around the entire world and turn the world upside down and start the church on their own power. They were weak, scared men. But he knew that when the promise of the Father came, the power of the Holy Spirit would fill those disciples and they could do amazing things. Let me encourage you to do this. Yes, during this quarantine time, be the church. Don't sit on your hands. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the wait, right? But pray, study the scriptures. That's the work that we should be doing first and foremost. And pray that God would give you the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to know who to love on and who to share with and who to minister to, and ask him to do the work in that person or that neighbor's heart or that coworker's heart to change them. And if you will do that, God loves saving people. He loves changing people. He wants to change you and continually grow you to be more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. He does that through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the promise of the Father shows up. It's the power of the Holy Spirit baptizing people into the Holy Spirit. That means that you and I, on the day of Pentecost, God baptized those believers there all into one body. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is that at the moment of your salvation, guess what? You are baptized into the Holy Spirit. You're not waiting for later for some other baptism of the Holy Spirit to come. You are baptized in that moment in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and takes up residence in your life, and you don't have to get the Holy Spirit again after that. You do need to be filled continually after that, and we see that happening time and time and time again in the book of Acts, where we see a story, we'll see it many times coming up, where the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they stood up and they taught or they preached. Or Stephen, when he was being stoned, was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and in that moment he had the power that he needed to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They have no clue what they're doing. They're killing me, and they think they're doing the right thing. Only a person who's been baptized into the family of God and filled with the Holy Spirit could have that kind of a response in a situation like that. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Plead to God this week that you would be a person that's filled up with that power, and that you would be changed from the inside out, not because of your hard work, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit that you would receive, right? He says that you will receive power. Not that you guys are powerful, go out and change the world. But no, you got to wait and receive power, because you're a receiver, not a transmitter. You need to wait for that power to come into your life, and then you can accomplish mighty things for the Lord through the power of the Lord, right? And so that is the power of the Holy Spirit. But next, what we see happening at the birth of the church in this special moment in time is the proclamation of the Son. You see, the Holy Spirit's not about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not just there to say, hey, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. Tongues of flame and wind and loud noise and speaking in different languages. The Holy Spirit, his main ministry is to point you and to point me to Jesus. That's what he does. When the Holy Spirit shows up, does his work, he points people to Jesus Christ. And so that's what happens in this passage, is that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in different languages, all kinds of languages. We see in the following verses, starting in verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the sound of that mighty wind, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. So they're like, what in the world is happening? What's that loud noise? And then we show up and there's another noise. It's these dudes speaking in my home language, because for this feast, people from all around the world would come back to Jerusalem. So there was going to be a whole lot of people from all around the world right here in Jerusalem at this time. Mighty sound shows up and they all are perplexed and wondering what in the world is happening. Verse 7 says, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? I mean, like, they're Galileans. They're like uneducated men. Like, how in the world is this happening? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And look at this list. It goes, it's a big list. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and Asia. The list goes on. Parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So they are proclaiming the mighty works of God when they are filled with the Spirit. In the following verses, Peter stands up and he gives the sermon at Pentecost here. He stands up and he talks to all this crowd that has gathered around them, and he begins to remind them from the Old Testament that this was the promise of the Father, that the Messiah was going to come and would have to suffer, and that he would die and that he would be raised up again. And he said that even David, King David, spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he would not be abandoned to Hades, nor would his flesh see corruption, but that God would raise him up, and that we are all witnesses of that. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, there's that promise again that Peter's referring to. He's going, hey, the promise came true. And now he's preaching and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Then he says this in verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, that's Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus that you guys crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's something that Peter can't do. That's something that the Holy Spirit is doing. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is that he convicts the world of sin. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to him, here's what you need to do. Repent and be baptized, right? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, at the moment of your salvation, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Father, is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So God's promise is coming true, and God is calling men and women and children to himself around the world. And those that he is calling to himself, his Holy Spirit is going to and convicting of sin and changing their heart and regenerating them and bringing them into this new family that's being formed called the church, the body of Jesus Christ, the bride. It's an amazing thing that the Godhead is doing all here right at this moment. And Peter is standing up under the power of the Holy Spirit and preaching Jesus, preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. And when people are cut to the core and they realize that they have fallen short and that they are guilty and that they are responsible and that they are not who living up to being who God wants them to be, they realize something in their life is going to change. And they say, Peter, tell us, what in the world can we do? What should we do right now? And Peter says, here's what you need to do, brothers. You need to repent and ask for forgiveness of your sin. He's on the first day of the church being planted, he's proclaiming the Son. He's proclaiming Jesus. He's proclaiming the gospel, the good news. Let me tell you this. If you're watching this right now and you don't know Jesus, man, let me encourage you to do that very same thing, to repent, to turn away from your old way of living. Now's a great time to reevaluate our lives, right? While we're under quarantine and everything is kind of crazy and different, a lot of us are reevaluating. Maybe you're reevaluating spirituality. Maybe you're reevaluating what you think about the Bible and about Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit's doing a work in your life right now through his power, not mine, to say, now is the time when I need to realize that I don't have it all together, that all my plans have fallen short, and that I need God in my life, and I can have a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. If I'm willing to repent, turn my back on my old way of life, and receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ, then you can have a relationship with Him today. What happens next is super cool, because in verse 40 he says, "And with many other words he bore witness about Jesus and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" And we do live in a crooked generation these days too. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So this is a really awesome picture of what's happening on the first day, the birth of the church, is that God's promises are coming true. The power of the Holy Spirit's like coming about and making the church possible, and Jesus is being proclaimed, and 3,000 people, Peter could not do this, right? 3,000 people come to know Jesus that day and are baptized by the Holy Spirit into this family and become the early church. You and I, this is our story. If you're a member of the church, you're a member of God's family, this is your history. This is the history of the church. And so we want to hold that high and say, man, I want to be a person who not only realizes the promises of the Father and utilizes the power of the Spirit, but I also want to be a person who proclaims the name of Jesus. Yes, we are called to love one another and to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we're also called to be witnesses, proclaim, preach the name of Jesus, say the words. And if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, He will give you the words that you need to say to share the good news about Jesus with those that you know. And I know you sitting right there might say, "Hey, Pastor, I have a really hard time talking to people about Jesus. I don't know what to say." That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And He gives you the words that you need to say. If you'll rely on Him and trust in Him and say, "Lord, give me opportunities this week to share the gospel," guess what? He will answer that prayer. That's a prayer He loves to answer. So let me encourage you to pray that this week. If you're listening once again and you don't know Jesus, in a minute you're going to see a button on the screen that says, "Hey, I want to know Jesus. I want to make a commitment today to give my life to Christ." Let me encourage you to smash that button, right? To take that step toward Christ and say, "I don't know what it all means, but I want to talk to somebody. I want to talk to somebody about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, because I want to be a part of God's family. I want to be involved in God's family called the church." And you can only do that rightly when God has changed your heart. God can completely and utterly change your life, make you into a brand new person. The Bible says that He'll make you a new creation. All things, the old you, like passed away. And behold, everything will become new. And that is true. I'm living proof of that. God has radically, completely changed me from who I used to be. That guy doesn't even exist anymore. And now I have the opportunity to walk with and follow Jesus. I pray the same for you. Let me pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the church, for your gift of the church, that we get to be a part of it. And Lord, right now we celebrate the church. We remember what you did on this wonderful day, the day of Pentecost. And God, I pray that we would be your people that would remember your promises, that would do church and do life by the power of your Spirit. And God, that we would be a people that would boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. And Lord, we also pray for those who don't yet know Jesus. Lord, that just like we saw in this passage of Scripture, that many people would come to know Christ. And we claim that by your name and by your power, not by anything we can say or do, but by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would reach out even right now and save souls and change lives for eternity's sake. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.